Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
Coming from the first word on this Sunday, great weekend, going with the July 4th and everything. Everybody get tomorrow off, all the fellas. Like to thank you guys for calling back in. Hope everything's going well. Everybody had a good week. And since everybody is back, as you know, everything that's going on here, basically, what we do is we study the book of Proverbs every Sunday. And what we do is every Sunday that the day that it falls on, study for the Proverbs. And that's basically what we're doing. So since today is July the 3rd, we're going to be studying the book of Proverbs, the third chapter. So I'm starting off with a word of prayer. And then I'm going to hand it over to our host for today, Jamal Harris, to get us started. All right, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for getting us here safely. Thank you for bringing us through another week, letting us see another great 4th of July and everything this weekend here. Pray that you just keep everybody safe. Pray that we learn something today that will keep us going throughout the week. And I pray that you just, you know, help us grow knowledge, wisdom, and everything. And just help us all learn something. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Brother Jamal, you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm right here. Good morning, everybody. You know, this is the first word. And, you know, Brother Anthony already explained how we do it, so we're just going to get straight into it. Now, well, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart. Verse 2, for they will prolong your life many years and bring peace, bring you peace and prosperity. I believe that these two verses are telling us how God wants us to keep His commandments. And when we go through certain situations in our lives, if we keep His commandments and hide them in our heart, God tells us that it will prolong our lives many years. And this is talking about the wisdom. And throughout the whole first word, this is what we have been talking about. We've been talking about the wisdom. And so many times we see people that are in messed up situations, or we see people in the worst of situations because they will not use their wisdom. And especially with the men, you know, because we're not going to have nobody just sit back and talk to us no type of way. We ain't going to have nobody just, you know, look at us or step on our shoes or something or just whatever, you know. And so this verse is telling us that if we do not forget God's teaching and hide his commandments in our heart, then we will have long life because of the wisdom that he will share upon us and we will be able to use effectively. Any comments? This is open. All the lines are open, so we would like to hear some of your comments. Can we hear some of your comments?
Well, I think I definitely agree with you on everything that you just said about that, you know, keeping it in our hearts. And so our days need to be longer. I feel like, you know, everybody in their youth has heard their parents say this, has heard everybody say this, you know, obey your parents, obey, you know, your elders and everything, you know, obey God so that your days may be longer on earth. So it's definitely key in everything that we do to keep him first.
Amen, amen, amen. Any more comments? Again, this is an open line.
Good morning, gentlemen. My comment is that, you know, when it says keep the commands in your heart, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, in other words, whatever it is that we store in our heart, whatever it is that our heart is focused on, when we open our mouth and we begin to speak to people, we can't pull anything out and put anything into the atmosphere that's not already on the inside. And so it's only by us taking and putting his commandments to his word and actually learning it, getting the wisdom, getting the understanding, and not just getting the knowledge in our mind, but actually getting it deep down in our heart and our belief system so that when the storms of life come, when adversity comes, when pressure comes, that's what's on the inside. And so, you know, there's a saying that pressure busts pipes, and that if you really want to see what somebody's made of, you have to see them when they're angry and when they're mad. But if we have God so wrapped up in our heart that even in our angriest moments, even in our stressed out moments, that's what begins to come out, then that's what we show to the world, who we are and who he is.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your comment. Any more comments before we continue? All lines are open.
All right. I just want to say that definitely agree with Jay on that one. You know, you learn a lot about people when they are angry. Like, you learn their true colors. That's when everything decides to come out. So I'm going to go ahead and read verse 3, and let's get into this one. It says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about the neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou," now in verse 4 it says, "so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." I pretty much feel like, you know, it's the same thing that was basically reiterated in verse 1. It says, you know, write them upon your heart and everything. That's, you know, keep same way it says, keep thy commandments in the heart. So I think that's basically the same thing. What do you guys think?
I think it's right. I agree with you because, you know, and this verse, I'm going to read verse 3 again, says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them down on the tablet of your heart." When it says bind them around your neck, I believe that it speaks to the importance of wisdom and the importance of it, how much that you need it, you know, in this walk. And then, you know, in verse 4, it gives you the good. It says, "Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and the sight of man." Last week we were talking about names and reputations, and when it says you'll win favor and a good name, you know, sometimes when we partying with somebody or we go to, you know, somebody, a friend of ours might call us to a party. And just by their name, we can see that, okay, is this going to be a good party, or this is a party where I'm going to get into some trouble, or is this a party where, you know, everything's going to be chill, everything's going to be relaxed, this is a party where I'm going to have fun. So your name, you know, I like that it said that you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Any more comments?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when it says let love and faithfulness never leave you, I think these are two key components of character and two things that we need to exemplify as Christians. So many people walk around and tell people, I'm saved, I'm a believer. But if we're not faithful to the commitments that we make, and if we don't operate in love, then what message are we really putting out there in the atmosphere? And so it's like love and faithfulness are what will not only have you to have favor with God, but it will also cause, you know, people to look favorably upon you and see you as a positive person.
Amen. Thank you for your comment. We want to thank you for your comment. All lines are open. So, you know, any more comments before we move on? Well, we're going to move to verse 5 and 6. This is a familiar scripture. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. This verse is as plain as you see it. Oftentimes when we get into situations, and what I like about this verse is that it says trust in the Lord. See, it doesn't say trust in your mama. It didn't say trust in your daddy. It didn't say trust in your girlfriend, whatever you got. It didn't say trust in none of that stuff that's materialistic or none of that stuff that's physical. God says in his words, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understandings. And I know in my case, and I can only talk for myself, I know that I found myself leaning to my own understanding so much. You know, and when I lean to my own understanding, I find myself to be digging a deeper hole that I was in the first place, because leaning to my own understandings. Because when we go to God, when we start walking with God, we submit, we make our ways his way. We no longer do it our way. So when we don't lean to our own understandings, but in all our ways acknowledge him, that is the way that we will be able to walk this walk. Because if we submit to him, the things that, you know, in a situation where we would normally worry about how this is going to get done, how this is going to happen, how the bill is going to get paid, if we not lean to our own understanding, which is worrying, which is going to everybody else but God, he will make our path straight, no matter what it is. We serve a great and mighty God, so he's telling us that in all of our ways. That's in everything that we do, not in two ways, not in three ways, but in all our ways, we shall, when we acknowledge him, he will make our path straight. So that's wherever we're going through, wherever we're going through, if it's a situation in a relationship, and the first thing we usually do is get mad and storm out and call it a quits, we're not going to do that. And even if it's in the church and people not treating you right and you feel like you're treated unfair and whatever the case may be, we're not going to walk away, but we're going to trust in him, because this is who we're doing it for, and in all of our ways. So that doesn't mean that we go back in our ways at all, but in all of the ways that we acknowledge Christ, we submit to him, and he'll make our path straight. I know I got some comments on this verse, these two verses. Lines are open.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks to the nature of not being dependent upon self, but dependent upon God. And it says, with all your heart. That means that we can't halfway be committed to God. When we commit to God, we have to trust in his will and his plan, not only in times when it feels good to us, but more so in the times when it doesn't feel good, more so in the times when the journey gets rough, rocky, and shaky. That's when we need to all the more know that the same God that was in control when we were laughing and joking and having a good time, is still God, even in the midst of the storm. And sometimes what we don't realize is that the storm is a necessary progression in our life, because in trials and storms, a lot of times there's something that God is working in us, whether he's working to make something stronger in us, whether he's working to remove something from us to prepare us for our next place in life. We have to trust in him and know that his way is greater than our way, and it don't have to make sense to us. But if we just trust him, at the end of the day, our paths will be straight. And I like where it says our paths will be straight, because if you ever walked like on a nature trail and some of them are curved and they go around, and it would take you longer to get to your destination because you want to walk on a blacktop, and the blacktop is a straight path. That straight path speaks to getting to your destination much faster.
Amen. I definitely agree with that. I feel about it, you know, it's like how it says, you know, lean not to your understanding, how, you know, sometimes, like, I feel like even me, or, like, you know, sometimes Christians, is just like, you know, sometimes you have that one doubt, and sometimes it's not supposed to be like that. But, you know, with us being in the physical, it's like sometimes we don't see all the time, we don't see the spiritual aspect of it in certain things. And, you know, it's that doubt, I feel like, that sometimes leads us the wrong way. But he has the word here for us so that we can, you know, so that we can learn and we can guide ourselves and trust in him and read the word and, you know, have it in our heart so that, you know, when we get in those situations, we don't doubt him, we just do what he says. Because sometimes, like Jay said, you know, sometimes it's how you go right, you know, you read that it's your blessing, and then you decide to go left because, oh, it looks better over here. You don't want to go through the struggle, you don't want to go through the pain yet. But at the same time, you know, if he's telling you to go right, you know, your blessing could be right there. And I feel like, you know, sometimes we got to look past certain things and just trust in God with all of our hearts all the time. What you guys think about that?
Amen. I believe, you know, I agree with the comment, especially it says lean not to your own understanding. It's been certain things that we have been taught as children that we, you know, that our parents instilled in us, that something we still do. I know myself, I know that I'm not telling nobody on the line to be a punk, but what I'm saying is I've been in situations where I've been tested, and I know the first thing I would do is fight, you know. And then growing up, and, you know, because that's what I was taught, you don't let nobody mess with you, you don't let nobody mess with your family members, you protect you and yours. So, you know, when we get into certain situations, then we look in the Bible, and God tells us that vengeance is mine, said the Lord. When you don't react and when you sit back and take whatever happened to you and go to God with it, that shows us the spiritual maturity and our willingness to be just with God, on his side, walking with him, talking with him. So it shows a lot when it says lean not to your own understanding, because we often lean to our own understandings. If somebody, you know, I can just speak for myself, I knew, you know, earlier in my life that if somebody did something to me, I did something right back to them. I didn't always say, well, you know, I ain't gonna do nothing to you. This is what I was taught. So sometimes when somebody would mess with mine, you know, I would get at them because that was what I was taught. And so when we sit back and put this pride aside, because that's what it mainly is. And so when we move that pride aside and lean not to our own understandings, I understand that, you know, sometimes we're men, so sometimes, you know, we want to do it our way. You know, but God is telling us this is the only way to make your path straight. So in order to make your path straight, don't lean to your own understandings, but in all your ways acknowledge him in all of them. So like Roman Graham said, that's when it feels good, when it don't feel good, in all your ways. So in even on the good days and the bad days and the indifferent days, we still have to lean to him and lean not to our own understanding, because in all honesty, in some of our situations, we would just have given up, thrown in the towel, don't want to deal with it. go somewhere else where we think that, you know, the problem is just not going to be here anymore. But in all your ways, acknowledge Christ, and he'll make our path straight.
Amen, amen. I'm going to go ahead and read the next verse. Next verse is, what they say is, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So I think this one, the way that this one sounds, basically, is how, you know, when we're here and we live our lives and stuff, you know, certain things like, per se, the way we dress, you know, certain trends and styles that we have, you know, it's like we do certain stuff to be with the in crowd, or we do certain things to, you know, be hip, be with the game and everything, to look the part, and then sometimes it's just not needed, and, you know, like it says, you know, if we're doing certain things for the world, you know, we got to think and always have in the back of our mind that, you know, God, we got to do things to be wise in God's eyes, per se. I think I kind of got that. Can you guys help me out?
Well, I think that it means that, you know, don't think that we know it all. You know, don't think that we have the answer. And the other part of that is to shun evil. You know, and along with what you were saying about going with the crowd, sometimes we run with some people that do some really ugly things, and we have to be able to stand up. And when we're around people and we're around evil, to recognize it for what it is and to walk away from it. Don't be led astray, because it says if we do that, it will bring health to your body. I'm reading the NIV. It will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And sometimes, you know, we ask God for certain things and we want certain things, but there's a lot of times if we look into the Word of God, there are blueprints for a lot of things that we want. Like it says, if you want health in your body, then shun evil, walk away from evil. So, but if you walk in evil, then I guess that would, we could interpret this to say, well, maybe that might bring some calamity on your physical body, you know, so that's how I see that.
Amen. I definitely agree with both of you guys. And when, you know, when it says don't be wise in your own eyes, a lot of people, you know, they feel like all of they have, all of the things that, you know, they have accumulated and all of the awards and things of this nature, they feel like that they work for. I mean, not taking away nothing from nobody, but God has given us the ability to do any and everything that we can do. Just how we use our body, just how we use, you know, how we get up in the morning and, you know, we turn our cars on and we're going to church. And God has given us the ability to. There's so many people that, you know, when we watch the BET Awards, excuse me, any awards, whatever awards you watch, you understand what I'm saying? It's certain people that I get up there and say, well, you know, first of all, I want to give all thanks and honor to Jesus Christ, who was ahead of my life, because without him, none of this would be possible. See, but when the people come up there and say, well, I'd like to thank my director, and I'd like to thank my acting teacher and all that, and all of this and all of that, and so it goes to the fact of, you know, like Reverend Graham said, they know everything. So if you know everything, who can tell you something? And when you feel like you know everything, you won't listen to nobody because you feel like I've made it all. Because I, you know, when we're dealing with God, we have to cancel I out. There's no I when we're dealing with Christ. Therefore, we have to. The Bible tells us that you fear the Lord and shun evil. And see, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And the word nourishment, you know, this is something that we need. And this is something that oftentimes, like Reverend Graham say, feels good to us. So in order to bring health to our bodies and to have nourishment to our bones, we have to, first of all, not be wise in our own eyes. So when we get things and because there are certain things in our lives that we obtain that people know our situations. The people know, you know, we're not in the best situations, but when God shows up and show out, you know, oftentimes I heard people say that we don't look like what we've been through. So don't be wise in your own eyes saying that everything you got it your way, or you had to do this and you had to do that, and there was no part of God, and there was nothing to help you along the way except yourself. So that's what I believe that these two verses are saying. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun the evil. And when we begin to do that, when we begin to fear the Lord and shun evil, now we're making ourselves available to everything that God has for us. Before we go on. Okay, we're going to do the next two verses. Verses 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Verse 10, it says, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, as your vat will brim over with new vine. I believe that this is saying that we bring whatever our crops are, whatever our crops are, if it's money, you know, basically nowadays it's our money. So I believe this is saying that we bring our first fruits. You know, sometimes when we get paid, the first thing we do is what we want to do. So I believe that God is telling us that the reason that I believe that God is talking about our wealth is because he knows how hard people are about their money. He know how people is about, man, I don't play about my money now, man. I hurt you with my money, man. You know, so God knows that, you know, money is something that we hold near and dear. Even though it shouldn't be that way, but, I mean, it is what it is. So God is telling us that with our first fruits of all our crops, then that's when our barns or whatever it is will be filled to overflowing and with new vines. So I believe that this speaks to verse 5 again. It's telling us if we're not leaning to our own understanding, our own understanding is to do what we want to do with our money. But if we do it God's way and with all the first fruits of our crops, then we would be all right. Any comments? Any add-ons?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when it says that bringing our first fruits, like you said, when we often get a blessing, especially when we talk about paycheck, a lot of us, we already have in our mind, we look forward to payday because it's something, some outfit we saw, some shoes, and we know what we want to do. But it says if we honor the Lord and give him his first, it says our barns will be filled to overflowing. And so I believe that if we give God his, because we recognize, number one, that he is the source and the provider anyway, but if we honor him by giving him back a portion of what he's given us and giving it to him first, then we will constantly have abundance and we'll constantly have overflow in our lives.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. What I was thinking about was even when you said the source, how since God's the beginning and the end, he's the source of all of our wealth. So he's the source of everything. He fills our life, everything that we have, everything that we give. So at the end of the day, giving back to him, he's going to give you more anyway. So if you look at it that way, I think, you know, it makes it a little bit easier on the business. So it's like a thing where, per se, that when you do give him that, or when you do tithe, or when you do give back to him, or whatever you make, that he'll give it to you. And it says, like it says, you know, it'll make your barns great. So it is like a thing that where, you know, that he'll give it back to you regardless of what's going on. When you faithfully give him your life, well, you know you need something, and, you know, you need something something that is more valuable. When you give him your last, he'll make it. So now I don't have to pretty much anything at all. He gave me pretty much for another one. But
you know, that's pretty much what I feel.
Close here. You guys got your last word, Jamal. You want to close it out?
Sure. Any last words, add-ons, comments? We want to look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father God, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity for us to be on the first word. Thank you for everybody's dedication, Father God, commitment, Father God. We ask you to be in our churches and our services, Father God. We ask you to bless Pastor, First Lady, Father God, the First Family, Father God, everybody's family that's on here, Father God. And we ask you, Father God, to continue to keep us, Father God, lead us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right,
amen.
Brother, so next, this is the first word. We out.